are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the game to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is.
This is Jake, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fireballs, hold up.
Why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the bunny gets it.
They've got here!
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
All right. Okay. I am here. Why is that not doing it? It's not doing it right. Why is it not doing it right? Okay, there's that. Let's see what did that. Okay, that did it. Welcome! One and all. To the fifth day of January 2023. We are here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. We are listener supported, so please do us that favor. Come to the homepage and do a donate click, a donate click, a donate click. We really do appreciate you folks, and thank you. I haven't heard him in a while, so I figured I'd do this. Let's see what Dr. Vernon Coleman has to say.
It's the end of 2022, and this is video 319. If you've watched all 319, you can give yourself a pat on the back. But if you're in the UK, please don't dislocate anything as you do so, because there are no ambulances, no GPs and no hospitals and possibly no Royal Mail to bring you a get well card. GPs who earn huge six-figure salaries want a 21-hour working week without having to see patients face to face and are threatening to go on strike. How will anyone tell if GPs go on strike? They gave out millions of toxic jabs that cause heart attacks, and now there's no ambulance and no hospital to treat you when you have your heart attack. Today, I'm going to tell you what is going to happen in 2023. I don't have an informer feeding me secrets. I don't have microphones planted in the World Economic Forum headquarters. And I don't have Bill Gates on speed dial. I know exactly what's going to happen because ever since early 2020, when the lies first started big time and governments all around the world began singing the same words to the same gloomy dirge, the conspirators have been following a ruthless and evil program of deceit, deception and fear. In the true tradition of baddies such as Ernst Stavro Blofeld, the conspirators want to take over the world. It's all about power and money. They want all the remaining oil for themselves. They know it's running out and they want to keep their obscene super yachts moving. They also want enough fuel for planes and for bombing foreigners. The oil shortage is now eternal and getting worse. Extra taxes on oil companies mean that exploration is halting. Banks won't support companies looking for more oil. The EU's policies on tankers and their insurance means that the worldwide flow of oil will be hampered. The EU, remember, was always the conspirators' first step towards an unelected, brutal world government. Those who support the EU are collaborators of the very worst kind. As Russian oil disappears from the market, the other producers will have ever more power. The price of oil is just going to go up and up. The conspirators, helped by discredited organizations such as YouTube and the BBC, created global warming as an excuse to stop us traveling. And the plans are progressing well. The government in the UK was recently advised by climate change cultists in Oxford and the inevitable Imperial College that by 2030 all airports in the UK must close except Heathrow, Glasgow and Belfast. And by 2050, those three remaining must go. Until then, access to airports must be by rail only. In Oxford, which now seems to me to be the world centre for insanity born of tyranny, citizens are to be locked into community prisons for most of the year. Check it all out if you don't believe me. Presumably only the conspirators, politicians and the climate change cultists will be allowed to travel. And as I warned you the best part of 3 years ago in a video entitled A Population Control Plan, published on May the 16th, 2020, and taken down very quickly by the discredited YouTube, they want to reduce the world's population. The transcripts in my book, COVID-19, The Greatest Hoax in History, which contains the scripts of all my early videos, except for the first one, which I did without a script. The deliberately created food and fuel shortages are all part of their ruthless, genocidal master plan. The designer war, which we haven't quite declared against Russia, means that Western farmers are denied access to fertilizers. Remember, 28% of the entire global supply comes from Russia and Ukraine. That, on top of the soaring cost of fuel and heavy-handed government action, means that thousands of farms are being closed. The Dutch government, for example, just closed 3,000 working farms to please the cultists, who claim that they're worried we might have slightly better summers occasionally. The absurd rewilding schemes whereby bison, boar, wolves, beavers and wildcats are introduced into the countryside where they've never been before are aimed at forcing people out of the countryside and into the towns, as well as forcing food prices ever higher and ensuring that most people eat food made in laboratories. All those bison wandering around won't do fields of cabbage or solar panels much good. People don't notice what's happening because they're misled by the distractions and misdirections. The conspirators are like conjurers. They use feeble-minded, narcissistic exhibitionists like Mr. Harry and Mrs. Meghan to distract the feeble-minded masses. Fake rows about race and sexism are created to distract and divide. A word considered unsuitable becomes a life-changing assault but only if it goes one way. Meanwhile, racism against white males seems to continue unabated. A white man who applied for a job with West Yorkshire Police was apparently told that he wasn't suitable because they were hiring only women and ethnic minorities. Turn that round and see how it sounds. How many double woke lefties would start screaming if West Yorkshire Police was to announce that it wasn't recruiting women or non-white males, or only recruiting non-Jews, or only recruiting heterosexuals? You can hear the screams. Race campaigners will take down a statue, but I haven't seen them complaining about hundreds of millions starving to death in Africa and Asia because of massively high food and fuel prices. Europe, while pretending to be very green and committed to net zero, is importing huge quantities of chopped up trees so that they can burn them to make electricity, and being supplied with liquefied natural gas being imported from the United States in huge diesel-powered tankers. And within Europe, 573 billion euros of taxpayers' money has been spent on keeping energy prices affordable. That sort of money isn't available in Africa or Asia. The next problem for Europe is that the gas storage tanks were filled with Russian gas long ago. That isn't going to happen before next winter. Moreover, Chinese imports of LNG gas were low because of their crazy zero COVID policies. When those end, the Chinese will be buying up all the gas. If you think this winter's bad for prices and feeling cold, wait until next winter. Digitalization, compulsory vaccination, and a global social credit program are part of the plan to control everything we do. The enemy will keep the fear levels as high as they can, with starvation, economic collapse, wars, and endless threats of new diseases. And of course, vaccine injury deaths are classified as sudden adult death syndrome. They'll never blame the vaccines for anything. They'll link the vaccines to the digitalization, and you won't be able to do anything or go anywhere if you haven't had all their compulsory jabs. I warned about all that years ago, as you'll remember. The most important immediate fight is the battle to retain cash. The half-witted say, oh, what a pity it is that cash is disappearing, with no conception of why cash is disappearing. Cash is the key to everything. Don't use shops or cafes which won't take cash. Just walk out. And if your local council introduces car parks where you can park only by using an app, make sure that you complain. I believe they're probably breaking the law, and you should appeal if you get fined. Take photos and get witnesses. We have to fight these damned apps every way we can. This is, at the moment, a truly vital battle. They want an entirely digital society. When there's no cash, they can cut off your access to your money. Look what happened to the Canadian truckers whose bank accounts were frozen because they dared to protest. And look what happened to BitChute, one of a limited number of platforms where truthful videos can appear. Help Ray at BitChute if you can. There's advice on how you can help on that platform. My thanks to Mark at Earth Newspaper and all those people who put my videos on BitChute and other platforms. And try going back to brand new Tube, which Mohammed Butt has been fighting to restore. The people who took it down, whoever they were, managed to delete and destroy a whole pile of my videos. But we did manage to find backup copies behind the sofa. And house prices, well, they're going down everywhere, but they'll go down most in Britain. As I pointed out in my last video, independent experts now believe that house prices could go down by a third. A £3,000 house will be worth £200,000. Most homeowners with mortgages will be underwater. They'll owe more on their home than it's worth. Remember the World Economic Forum, you will owe nothing and be happy. And mortgage rates are going to stay high. They're never going back down to where they were. Nothing's now happening by accident. There are no coincidences. Everything bad is happening as part of a master plan. And once you know that, it's easy to see what comes next. You and I may be described as conspiracy theorists, but they are conspiracy practitioners. Every time something bad happens, ask yourself who benefits from this and exactly how will they benefit. And ask yourself how the conspirators stand to profit. Remember, they're a potent mixture of hypocritical left-wingers who are indistinguishable from communists and a bunch of greedy billionaire tricksters who are nothing more than raw fascists. And if you think it's strange to suggest that communists would work with fascists, consider this. if politics is a straight line with communists at one end and fascists on the other, and you then turn the straight line into a circle, then the communists and the fascists stand side by side because their aims and methods are indistinguishable. The conspirators and their handmaiders, collaborators, people are such as politicians, academics, broadcasters, government advisers, newspaper editors, and the medical establishment will tell you that inflation will soon be under control, that inflation, that interest rates will go back to nothing, that fuel and food prices will soon be normal again, and that all we have to worry about is the climate cultists' hysterical and nonsensical claims that the Eiffel Tower will be entirely underwater by a week on Wednesday, and that the Statue of Liberty will have melted by the following Tuesday. Net zero is the most chilling piece of legislative nonsense ever created, worse than China's insane net COVID policy, which is, of course, deliberately designed to improve compliance with the tyrannical social credit system. The medical establishment has thrown itself behind massive vaccination campaigns and the climate change myth. Look at history and you'll see that the medical establishment is nearly always wrong. If anyone from the medical establishment dared to debate that statement, I'd be happy to do so, but they won't because they know I'm right and they're all gutless bastards. The truth is that man-made global warming doesn't exist, and even if their worst predictions were based on fact instead of fantasy, none of it would matter a damn. The world isn't going to catch fire. The sea isn't going to evaporate. None of their threats is real. And the real proof is, as with vaccination, is that they will not debate climate change. No discussion is allowed. The media, such as the discredited BBC, have banned all discussion and questioning of vaccination, and they've pretty well banned all discussion of global warming. They pretend that these issues are accepted, but they're only accepted by the conspirators. The world is awash with masses of evidence proving that vaccines do more harm than good, but the establishment continues to deny that such evidence even exists. There's absolutely no doubt that the COVID-19 jabs do massively more harm than good, but doctors and nurses keep on giving them, deliberately poisoning their patients and being well paid for it. And patients who need blood transfusion and who ask for unvaxxed blood are abused by doctors and nurses. Indeed, parents who ask for their children to be given unvaxxed blood are likely to have their children taken away from them. We have no freedom and we have no free speech. Things are so bad that many scientists writing research papers are self-censoring because they're terrified of losing their careers. It's all about money. Drug companies are making billions out of vaccines. Doctors are making millions out of giving vaccinations. The climate change industry is a commercial scam, just like AIDS, and there are huge numbers of people making big money out of it. The billions being demanded in reparation payments will be siphoned off by climate change crooks and pressure groups. 9 million Britons of working age are now not working or looking for work. They are tired of work. Sunak's free money has encouraged them to believe that work is for other people. Massive rises in benefit payments are part of the plan to make everyone dependent upon the government. Why work when the government will give you more money to stay at home and watch television? Around the world, tens of millions of people now claim to be unable to work because of long COVID, an imaginary disease which has been promoted by politicians and the media because it's convenient and useful for the politicians. Millions are at university studying courses in subjects that are of no value whatsoever and which will lead them into debt, long COVID and a life on benefits, and they don't count as the unemployed. The conspirators want us all to do everything online. There's not going to be any need for doctors, nurses, teachers, bank staff, travel staff or IT staff. Computers and robots can do everything, but they do it cheaper and better. Robots are better than surgeons and kinder than nurses. Police will be replaced by robots. Food will be made in factories by robots, not grown on farms. Civil servants will be unnecessary. There'll be no daily postal service. Builders and lawyers will be replaced by computers and robots. There'll be no newspapers or printed magazines. All this is already happening. Just check it out. Look at all the hundreds of thousands of people who've recently lost their jobs. The IT companies are getting rid of staff in huge numbers. So what is going to happen is that inflation is going to stay high. Governments have to keep inflation high to eradicate the huge debts they've built up. and interest rates aren't going back to zero or next to zero. Remember, the prices of food and fuel are staying high and staying higher, and so the price of everything will soar. Governments are going to continue handing out huge quantities of our money, so they have more control over us, and taxes are going to stay high and go higher. Designer wars are going to be fought without our approval, but with our money. They're removing the controls from banks so that they can make even more money. Did you notice, by the way, that in the UK, although the middle classes are being hammered by higher taxes, Schwab's government, Sunak government, is taking the cap off bankers' bonuses. Did you notice that? It's simply not true that everyone's paying more. There'll be more and more taxes. I can see global taxes and health warnings on meat and meat products within 2 years, if not before, in the same way that there are massive taxes and warnings on tobacco. And the conspirators are attacking vegetarian eating so that they can sell as a diet of wasps, locusts and factory-made garbage. Small businesses and the self-employed are doomed to a long struggle with the inevitable. Pubs, cafes and small independent shops have no future because there's no place for them in the new normal. The Great Reset doesn't have a place for independent businesses any more than it has a place for independent thinking. Millennials, who think we're all going to go back to low interest rates and low inflation, are living alongside Peter Pan in Never Neverland. There will be no more cheap imports from China to keep prices down. We're already well into extra time. If we don't take action very quickly, it'll soon be all over. As we move remorselessly into a digital cashless world, the ghettos I warned nearly three years ago are getting more and more real every day. No one will save us. We have to save ourselves. We need to stay alert. The latest danger is that they're planning to make it a war crime to tell the truth about vaccines of all kinds or about global warming. Telling the truth is going to be a war crime, branded as terrorism and a crime against humanity. Please look at my websites, www.vernoncolman.com and www.vernoncolman.org, where there's new material most days, and share what you find with everyone on social media. I'm banned from everywhere except my own websites and those kind people who carry my material on their sites. Any social media sites which you see in my name are fraudulent. Discredited conspiracy sites such as YouTube actually ban me from looking at other stuff on their site.
Jeez.
Woke organizations like the Royal Society of Arts expelled me for daring to tell the truth. Anyone who's still allowed to put videos on sites such as YouTube has to be considered rather suspiciously. Remember, each time you use discredited and dangerous sites such as YouTube, Google, Wikipedia or Facebook, you're making those discredited sites stronger by making them richer. If you'd like to buy one of my books, that would be terrific. Running websites costs more than you think. There are fees for this and fees for that, and we've never accepted ads or charged fees. The good news is that the traffic to vernoncolman.org last month reached 17.5 million, which, and that there are often 3,000 serious hacking attempts in a month which are stopped. And remember, when you see something bad happening, you have to stand up for what you believe to be right. If you don't, then you might just as well be dead. Sadly, most people have turned their faces to the wall and they've given up. There's no free speech anywhere in the world. Anyone who says differently doesn't understand. In the UK, Christians are now an ethnic minority, and in many parts of the country, white English folk are an oppressed ethnic minority. But you are definitely not alone. More and more people are waking up, and once they're awake, they don't go back to sleep. I hope you have a much better 2023 than they want us to have. May God go with you. And remember, they want compliance, so let's give them defiance. Distrust the government, avoid mass media, and fight the lies. That's as true now as it was when I first said it 3 years ago. And if you want to save yourself, your family, and your friends, please share this and my other videos with everyone you know, and with people you don't know. I can't share anything because I'm banned everywhere for the modern sin of telling the truth. But I'll be here on www.vernoncoleman.org and www.vernoncoleman.com for as long as I can. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair.
It's been a while. I really appreciate him. He gives it like it is. He doesn't fiddle fart around.
And we only have 15 minutes.
You're maybe next. I don't know yet. Just too much to really do. This one I'd really like to do. I might do it when we get back. So, Crow, you might be out of it today because you're over an hour and so many minutes. But I can't. I've got other things I really want to be heard today. So, I shall do that and do that and do that. And we'll work on it tomorrow. Hopefully. Yeah, sometimes they're just too long. Nothing I can do about it. Nope. Just the way it goes. I didn't get much sleep last night. So my brain is a little wackadoodled. Yeah. And I'm just doing the best I can. My whole body hurts. I don't know where all this came from. Be right back.
You. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people on the fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
The invasion.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
and sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
Join me in the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Right. I almost feel poisoned. Almost. Where'd it go?
I'm Shauna Swan. I'm a reproductive epidemiologist, and I'm really concerned about how fast sperm counts are declining. I've been studying this for a long time, and I and my colleagues published a paper in 2017, which went viral when we concluded that sperm counts had declined over the past 50 years at the rate of 1% per year, basically been cut in half. And following that, we decided, because of the great interest in it, that we should expand that paper, bring it up to date. And so just a few weeks ago, we did that. We published the update of that paper. And so now we have more studies, a longer time period, and some new results that I think we'll talk about. So let me talk a little bit about those new results. So we added 7 years of data, and that doesn't sound very much when you have almost 50 years, but it's important because it's now, and people are most concerned about what's happening now. And we found two things that are really important in this new analysis. The first has to do with geography, and the other has to do with rate of decline. So let me break those down. In our original paper in 2017, we searched the entire literature and got every paper that met our eligibility criteria, regardless of the location. But there were very few papers in South America, Asia, and Africa. And so that meant that even though we did publish those, we were not able to say anything conclusive. There was nothing that was statistically significant about the declines in those areas because there were so few papers. So that was a real important question for us on our reanalysis. Has that changed? And the answer is yes. Since we published that paper and since we since the studies that were included in that paper, that first one, there have been quite a few studies published in South America, Africa, and Asia. So many that now we can conclude, yes, among men who didn't know what their fertility was, we call those unselected men, among unselected men who are, by the way, most representative of the general population, there was a significant decline in Asia, Africa, and South America. So now we can say that our finding of a significant decline in sperm concentration and count is worldwide. So that was a big change from the 2017 paper. The other change from the 2017 paper was actually how fast are they declining. So we concluded in 2017 that the rate was a little over 1% per year decline. Now, when we look in recent years, particularly since the turn of the century, the rate is 2.64% per year. That's more than double 1.16, which was the prior finding. More than double the rate of decline. That is very fast and very unusual, given that this is only in the last, it was 18 years, from 2000 to 2018. Minus 2.64% per year. Extremely rapid decline. So the causes of this decline, of course, is the question on everybody's mind. What's causing it, and can we do anything about it? So when we think about causes, we think, first of all, could it be genetic? And the answer is no, and that's because it's too fast. So genetic changes take many generations, and we're looking at a little over two generations now, human generations. And so if it's not genetic, then what is it? Well, the sort of the two baskets are gene, environment, right? So that leaves us with environment. So what is environment? Is it just chemicals in the world? Well, that's certainly an important part of it, but also environment. If you think of the environment for an unborn child, for example, what is that environment? That environment is affected by many things that are going on in the mother's environment, in the father's environment. And those are things like smoking. Did the father smoke right before he conceived the pregnancy? That matters. If the mother smoked when she was pregnant, that definitely matters. Did he drink a lot? Did she drink a lot? That matters. How stressed were they? How obese are they? How much exercise do they get? What kind of food do they eat? All of these things affect sperm count. And that's been published. I've published that. Other people publish that. It's well known. So those are lifestyle factors. Put those aside, and then there are, if you will, the involuntary environmental factors, many of them chemical, but not all chemical, by the way. So heat matters. The temperature actually matters. Noise matters, although not for
cell phones in pockets, maybe.
But and then you have the chemicals. So the chemicals are all over the place, right? And they're chemicals in the products we bring into our house. They're also chemicals in our dust, in our air, in our water. So they're things that we can actually control to some extent by our purchases and, you know, what we allow into our house. And some things we can't control. We really can't control the chemicals in our air, right? In our air pollution. That's made up of chemicals. And what's in our water? Well, we can do something about that, perhaps by filtering and distilling and so on. But it's hard to keep track of them because they're just coming at us from all directions all the time. And among all those exposures, there's a class that's particularly important for sperm decline. So sperm are part of our reproductive system. They're germ cells that are produced by the reproductive system. Eggs also in the woman. So those germ cells are productions, the production of those germ cells is governed by hormones. It's governed by genetic programming and then played out via the hormones, the body's hormones, natural hormones. So that could be testosterone, it could be progesterone, it could be estrogen, and so on. And those sex hormones, if you will, are altered by many of these chemicals. So here are these hormones that are critical for the production of healthy sperm and eggs, and they're being interfered with all the time by these chemicals coming into our body through our food, our water, our breathing, our skin. Every way you can think of, they come into our body. And all the time, they change our body's hormones. What chemicals are those? Those are chemicals in plastics, but not only in plastics. But plastics are big players because the products in them, like phthalates and bisphenol, others, are essential to the structure of the plastic, right? So if you look at a soft water bottle and a hard water bottle, it could contrast. So the soft water bottle is soft because it has certain phthalates in it. That's a hard, nasty word, but there it is. And those are chemicals that lower our body's testosterone. I mean, that's big, isn't it? Men don't want to have their testosterone lowered if they can help it. And yet they're drinking from these soft water bottles and they're putting things on their face and on their skin that contain these phthalates. And this does measurably lower their testosterone. And when the mother is carrying a fetus and she's drinking from that soft water bottle or putting cosmetics on her face, or perhaps getting these through scents, perfumes, wall fresheners, air fresheners plugged into the wall, she's lowering her testosterone. And that might not matter so much for her, but it matters a lot for her unborn child, particularly her unborn son. And so back to the man with the soft water bottle. If he chooses the hard water bottle, then he's going to expose himself to bisphenols. And that's BPA. People know that as BPA, or it's bad cousins, BPF and BPS, which have been substituted. So the manufacturers can say this bottle doesn't contain BPA. And it turns out that in a factory in China that studied men making bisphenol A, there were more complaints of erectile dysfunction. So in a way, this is a hard choice, you know, the hard water bottle or the erectile dysfunction. So those are just two examples. Pesticides have been known and shown for just a long time now to reduce sperm count even to zero. That's in adult men. And the good news is that if the man stops using that pesticide, his sperm count in about 3 months will recover. On the other hand, if the mother is exposed to these chemicals that alter her hormones when she's pregnant and the son is affected, he will not recover. So there are quite different impacts of what the mother experiences and passes on to her son, the father experiences and passes on to his son, or daughter, by the way, because women are affected as well, what you do as an adult. So you have some control over what you do as an adult. And so when people ask me, what can I do? I can only tell them things that will change their adult exposure. I can't, of course, tell them how to change their prenatal exposure. But if they're pregnant or thinking of getting pregnant, they can think about changing their offspring's exposure. So it's something we should worry about for ourselves and also for our offspring. And by the way, also for our grandchildren, because it is passed on. So perhaps the area that's most sensitive to these phthalates when the fetus is in utero is a small area, which is really amazing because it tells us what the mother was exposed to and what the fetus was exposed to in utero. And that's a black box. There's no way to know what's going on in the womb by direct measurement. But this indirect signal tells us how much testosterone that little guy experienced when he was in utero. And the amazing thing is that it also tells us how he'll function as an adult. Now, how can that be? Well, it turns out that the distance from the anus to the genitals, which is called the anogenital distance, is much smaller in females than males. I should say genetic females and males. And about 50 to 100% bigger in a genetic male than a genetic female. And that makes sense if you think about what it actually measures. It's a distance that goes, has to include all the paraphernalia between the anus and the top of the genitals or the scrotum. So there's a lot in there for a male, much more than for a female. Because in the female, the organs are internal. But for a male, they're external. And that's why they take up so much more space, right? Okay, so in every mammal, almost, there are some exceptions, but in every mammal, we have this phenomenon that male distance called anogenital distance, or the taint, or the gooch, or the grundle on the street, and I'll just call it AGD. So the AGD is a marker, like I said, of how much testosterone there was in utero. The more testosterone, the bigger the distance. If there isn't enough testosterone, or it comes at the wrong time, because your whole growth and development is timed and programmed genetically. So if the signal is, the cue comes, okay, testosterone, start doing your job at this time in development. If it's in the wings and not getting the cue, it's not going to happen. And then that genetic male will have an AGD which is less than it should be. He'll be more feminized. So there are consequences. And it turns out that if a young man has a shorter than expected AGD for his size, for his body size, then he'll have a lower sperm count. And he'll be more likely to be infertile. So this is undoubtedly part of the picture of declining sperm count and declining fertility, by the way, which has declined at the same rate as sperm count, about 1% per year. So what can do that? The chemicals we talked about, particularly the phthalates. So here's the whole picture. There's the fetus, male fetus developing around the first couple of weeks of the first trimester. The genetic signal is for the testicles to develop and start making testosterone. And here comes this foreigner, this foreign influence from phthalates telling the body, well, you don't need to make as much testosterone. We got it covered. They occupy the spaces, the receptors that the testosterone, the androgen receptors, the testosterone receptors, they sit there and they say, okay, we're good here. You don't need to make any more. Okay, so then the body says, oh, okay, won't make any more. Then the AGD will stop growing, and the boy will be under-masculinized. And that also affects the germ cells that will go on to become sperm when he's a young man. And so they are impaired by this as well. And so when he goes on to be in his 20s or whatever, trying to have a child, 30s, he won't do as well. His sperm count will be lower, and he won't be able to do the job. So that's the story.
So if we continue exposing ourselves to chemicals and we continue on this path that we're currently on, where does this all lead?
Oh, boy, there's so many consequences, Mark. In terms of reproductive development, it means that it's going to be harder to conceive a child. And we know that's going on now because more couples are going to a clinic and saying, we're not getting pregnant. Can you help us? And there's various ways that medicine can help. Fortunately, that field is developing rapidly, and there's a lot of very good things that can be done. not without consequences, I want to point out. One study, not very new actually, I think it was 2008, showed that boys born to couples that had gone through assisted reproduction actually themselves have lower sperm count. So it doesn't reboot totally, it doesn't reset the system totally, but it does allow you to have a child. So that's great. There are also consequences to the brain, and we can talk about that if you want. There are also, there are also consequences to overall health, because men with low sperm count die younger. So that's kind of dramatic. So sperm count tells us something not just about ability to conceive, but it also tells us something about longevity, which is pretty important. And another consequence is that we are having fewer children in the world. That's what it means for the fertility rate to go down. And in some ways, that's good. Some people say that's good, and we can talk about that. But the predictions by good demographers are that population will increase, continue to increase as it's increasing, till perhaps, and then years vary with the demographer, 2040, 2050, and it will go down and it will never come back. The consequences of that are that we'll have many fewer young people to support the older people. So the old population pyramid, which was a very strong, big base of newborns and young children, supporting a very small peak of very old people, right? And that pyramid was actually an actual physical pyramid. You could draw it that way. But now, if you look at the population pyramids in, say, Japan, they're totally messed up. And the bottom is very small, and the top is very big, because people are living longer. Japan has, I think, the longest life expectancy and one of the lowest fertility rates. So it's been inverted. And what that means is for the society is huge. Huge, because you don't have the people to generate the products and the income that's needed for that society. You don't have the people to support, say, Medicare in this country, you know, and you just don't have the people to support the older people. And this is a social problem that's growing, and that particularly the Asian countries are aware of and trying to do something about. But the problem is, even though they offer economic incentives to people to have more children, it's not working. Why is it not working? Well, fertility rate goes down in countries in which women are educated. Okay? So as women become more educated, they enter the workforce, the couples have a larger income base, and they don't want to go back. You know, why do they want to go back to very poor economic situation with lots of kids that they have to support, to being much more comfortable having jobs out in the world where women are respected and, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's an indication of social change and social growth to have fewer children. And that's the trend. And people will not go back. Women particularly will not go back to staying home and taking care of five kids.
This was the most popular question or comment on the last video. People said, oh, the population's going to collapse. This is a good thing. Is there any reason why this isn't a good thing and why we should be concerned about it?
I think there are several reasons why we should be concerned about population decline. The first, let me just say, population is made up of people. And a basic human right, I feel, many people feel, is the ability to reproduce. And these forces, external forces, chemicals and so on, are limiting that right, limiting our right to choose to have children when we want to and the way we want to. So that's one way that it's a bad thing. Another thing to point out is that some people say, well, this is a matter of choice. people shouldn't have kids if they don't want them. That's true. But I'm saying people should be able to have kids if they want them. And if you look at other species that have become endangered, if not worse, in the environment today, you see many, many smaller litters, smaller population size, and these animals are not choosing this. It's not because they have contraception available. It's not because they want to have a bigger income. It's not it's so on, as you know, obvious. And so they're exposed to the same chemicals we are. So if we want to know what's going on, I would say, look at the animals, because we're part of that.
Yes, we are.
The other thing is that, as I have said, if you shift the population so that there are not enough children available to take care of the older people, which is what is happening, then this is a very big social problem and a burden economically. How do you support the population? How do you maintain production if there's few people in those middle years that will be producing? So I would say if we want to look at where things are most severe, probably Asia and East Asia. And in countries like South Korea, the fertility rate is below one child per couple. It's actually, I think, 0.89 now, which is historically low. That means that the average couple who should produce 2.1 children to maintain the status quo, right? Two people, two children, 0.1 for loss, is now 0.89 or 0.1, as it is in much of East Asia. And it's just not sustainable. It's just not sustainable. And there is many social phenomena that are seen in Japan right now, which are
some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist, featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays 2-4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery, real natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Riffs, hybrid thinker. Welcome to the crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie, Mona Radler.
Welcome back. We're here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Today is the fifth day of January 2023. We are listener supported, so please come to the homepage and do a donate click. Please, a donate click. Thank you.
Alarming that reflect that. For example, the phenomenon of rent a family. You can rent a family member if you don't want to go alone to an event. If you want to be seen with a child or with a wife, you can rent a family member. This is shocking, isn't it? I mean, there's also a phenomenon in Japan of women marrying themselves.
Jeez.
And this goes hand in hand with a decline in libido, which is associated with decline in testosterone. And we found, by the way, that in our studies, we asked women about their sexual satisfaction. And those who had higher levels of phthalates in their body had less sexual satisfaction. The number of times that couples have sex has decreased. There's a whole literature on that now. So the decline, testosterone is essential for libido, and declining testosterone, which is happening worldwide, has consequences not only for population size, but also for population satisfaction. Both of those are going down. Is that shocking?
That is really shocking. I'm wondering, is this all by accident, all these things that are affecting our libido and testosterone and sperm count, are all these things just kind of a side effect of incompetence? We just didn't know? Or do you think that there's any deliberate attempt to lower the population?
Oh, I don't think it's deliberate. I don't.
Oh, it is. It's deliberate.
I think that...
it's deliberate.
I don't know about ignorance, because, you know, people have been pointing this out. I think it's economic. I think that people who are manufacturing plastics and pesticides and so on, flame retardants and on and on and on, they have businesses. And people want these products because they're seen as modern and part of everyday life and necessary for our survival. And it's kind of an addiction. And manufacturers are happy to supply the drugs, if you will. So I think we're a society now which is, you know, I would say addicted to these products, these endocrine disrupting products, and that addiction is being exploited. By the way, the stock, the feedstock for these chemicals is, you know, fuel, and the production of fuels, coal and so on, those byproducts are what's used for making these phthalates and bisphenols and so on. So the companies that, you know, around 1950, when production started taking off, they had to think about what to do with the byproducts, and they put them into our everyday household products. And that way they could kind of capitalize on both ends, make the fuels and then make money off of the byproducts.
Intentional.
And that's worked for a long time until people started noticing that it wasn't good for society.
Are people becoming aware? And do you think through awareness, we're going to, just through demand, we're going to say, hey, we don't want these anymore? Or do you think we need like regulation?
I definitely don't think that people will just become aware and stop using things. I think we're creatures of habit. And let's face it, these products are nice. They're useful. We're dependent on them. So it's going to be... We're going to have to find safer alternatives with which to make these products. We're not going to stop asking for a disposable water bottle or something to line our frying pan so food doesn't stick. We're still going to want that, right? We just have to find ways to do it more safely. And that takes a lot of work and money and regulation, because why should people stop making products that sell very well for possibly better products that they might be able to sell to people? That's not a good business model. So unless they're forced to do that, they're not going to change. So when we talk about the possible connection between endocrine disruption and the LGBTQ spectrum, I like to start by separating the issues. So there's a condition called disorders of sexual development, DSD. There's a code for that, medical code. And that can be fused labia, that can be a micropenis, that can be ovaries and testes in the same individual. Those disorders are not, by the way, usually considered on the spectrum, but I just want to start there. Those disorders can be caused by endocrine disrupting chemicals. And a great example is the frogs that Tyrone produces by exposing them to atrazine, which is a pesticide. And he also finds them in the wild near fields that were sprayed with atrazine. Okay? So there's no question that those changes can be caused. Okay, so let's move to the next category, which is the question of choice of sexual partner, the sex of your partner, partner choice, and homosexuality. And that can be caused by environmental chemicals. And again, the best example is these frogs that are homosexual. And Tyrone has lots of photos of male frogs mating with other male frogs. And there, the Museum of Sex in New York has a whole floor which is devoted to homosexuality in animals, non-human animals. Some of those will be naturally occurring, and some may be influenced by environmental chemicals. We don't know.
Jeez.
But it's certainly a phenomenon. The third category, if you will, is the question of gender choice, gender dysphoria. And this is much, much more difficult because we can't look to animal models, because this is a condition of your, how you view yourself. How do you feel? Do you feel you're in the wrong body? Do you feel that you should have been born a male when you're a genetic female? Okay, so there's no way to ask an animal that, right? You ask your dog, do you think you would? No, you can't do that, right? The closest, again, I talked to Tyrone Hayes about this, and I said, what do you think? And he said, I don't know, but I can tell you that in the homosexual frogs that we produced by exposing them to atrazine, some of the males prefer to be a top, and some prefer to be a bottom. That's the closest we can come to saying to an animal expressing their preference. And I certainly wouldn't say that's the same situation at all, but I'm just saying that's a little hint that maybe there's something there. Other than that, I don't think we have any way to know. We could study this, and we will study this. I'm sure I won't probably, but other people will, where you can take chemical exposure in the woman's body before she gave birth, follow those children until they're teenagers or 20 or 30 years old, and ask them. That study has not been done. And that is an absolutely critical study to answer this question, because without asking people, you're not going to answer this question. So I have to say, I just don't know. But I do want to say that this is usually preceded by somebody saying, well, do you think the increase in gender dysphoria is due to environmental chemicals? And I would question the increase. Certainly, there is more reported. Certainly, there is more medical attention to it. Certainly, you know, it's in the political arena, and it wasn't before. But it's happened for many things. And you know, when I was growing up, nobody would consider talking about being born in the wrong body. it was just not in the public consciousness. Individuals might have thought that, but they would not have said it. And so we're sort of hamstrung in a way. We can't turn to animal data. We don't have a good historical record. So we're really starting our investigation now. And we'll know more in another generation, maybe.
There won't be another generation at the rate it's going.
That was a fantastic answer. And
Thank you.
That was probably the most informative I don't know I've ever gotten. Yeah.
By the way, there is it's such a delicate, because the problem is that if you ask, do environmental chemicals cause homosexuality, gender dysphoria, you're saying in a way those are negatives, those are illnesses, those are problems. Whereas people who are on the spectrum very often will say, no, it's not a problem. It's fine. I love it. I'm happy to be here. What's the problem? So you have to be very careful in talking about this, not to medicalize it and not to characterize it as a defect. And by the way, this is also the reaction of some Downs families and Downs people with Down syndrome, and also people with ASD, who would say, this is how I am, and I have a lot of, you know, I get a lot of good things out of this, and I don't want to say, was this caused by this problem or this problem? You see that it's very, just the asking of the question has political implications. So be careful.
So I think it's always nice to end a video with a positive note. If people do want to have kids one day, if you're talking to a group of college kids and one day they want to have a family, what would you tell them?
I would tell a group of college kids who want to have a family that they should think about what they're allowing into their bodies, even right now, in terms of the kind of food, the kind of drink, the kind of air, the kind of products they use in their house, cosmetics they use, mostly just to be aware that it all matters. And they might not want to change, but they could say, okay, I understand this skin cream contains phthalates, and those go into my body, and they might affect my testosterone level, but that's okay, because I really like this skin cream. Fine. Just be aware. I think people can be aware of chemicals that we're totally blind to, the better off it'll be. And then I would say men should bank a semen sample. Why not? It's not difficult. It's not particularly expensive. Now you can do it in your home. There are companies that allow you to do it at home and mail in a sample. And I don't think it's going to get better in the short term, although I hope it will get better in the long term. But if you want to conceive a child in the next, say, 10 years, why not have a sample that's probably okay? And by the same measure, I would say that every man should have his sperm tested. And if it's not great quality, then, you know, he can think about what to do to improve that in terms of his lifestyle, in terms of his exposures, and so on. So there are ways to be active that way. A woman cannot have her eggs tested because they're hidden. They're not available. So that's unfortunate. But if she's concerned, she can be checked for various conditions like, you know, her fallopian tubes, are they open, and so on and so forth. So do a little homework ahead of time. Not that you want to get pregnant now, but you can go to a doctor and say, if I wanted to get pregnant now, would I be able to? Do you see any limitations? Do you see any barriers that I could take care of? And then, like I say, be aware of chemicals that are sneaking into our body against our will, and try to keep them away. Unfortunately, reproduction is not very much talked about or studied. You know, people are embarrassed to talk about their problems having a child. Women are embarrassed, particularly because they feel it's their fault. They take a lot of blame on themselves if they have a miscarriage or can't get pregnant. And if you look at research agendas all the way up to the NIH, reproduction is not there. It's just not there. There's cancer, there's birth defects, there's diabetes, there's neurology. But reproduction is a poor stepchild. And I think that's one reason why we know relatively little about it. And I think that the more we can recognize this as a societal problem and put more resources there, the better off we'll be. So I've really enjoyed making this episode of After School. I hope you did too. And I hope you'll want to learn more. And you can do that by reading our book, Countdown, How Our Modern World is Threatening Sperm Counts, Altering Male and Female Reproductive Development, and Imperiling the Future of the Human Race. Thank you.
Gee, did you really even know any of that? Yeah, I knew it. Or I've known it. not that I studied it, but I have seen and witnessed the it.
Wrap it away. Josiah's got lessons. That's good.
All right, where do I want to go now? That's not it. This was it. Native American prophecies from 1986.
Native people have many prophecies about this time. They say at the beginning of each cycle of time, the Great Spirit comes down through a messenger. He makes a strong appearance upon the earth, and we are coming to an end of a cycle now. It's not the first cycle. There was a cycle of spirit. There was a cycle of the mineral, the rock. There was a cycle of the plant. And now we're in the cycle of the animal, coming to the end of that and beginning the cycle of the human being. When we get into the cycle of the human being, the highest and greatest powers that we have will be released to us and be released from that light or soul that we carry to the mind. But right now we're coming to the end of the animal cycle when we have investigated ourselves and learned what it is to be like an animal on this earth. And at the beginning of this cycle of time, long ago the Great Spirit came down and he made an appearance. He gathered the peoples of the earth together. They say on an island that is now beneath the water. And he said to the human beings, he said, I'm going to send you to four directions, and over time I'm going to change you to four colors. But I'm going to give you some teachings, and you will call these the original teachings. And when you come back together with each other, you will share these so that you can live and have peace on earth, and a great civilization will come about. And he said, during this cycle of time, I'm going to give each of you two stone tablets. And he said, when I give you those stone tablets, don't cast them upon the ground. Because if any of the brothers and sisters of the four directions and the four colors cast their stone tablets on the ground, not only will the human beings have a hard time, but almost the earth itself would die. And so he gave us each a responsibility, and we call that the guardianship. And to the Indian people, the red people, he gave the guardianship of the earth, and we were to learn during this cycle of time the teachings of the earth and the plants that grow from the earth and the foods that you can eat and the herbs that are healing, so that when we came back together with the other brothers and sisters, we could share this knowledge with them, because something good was to happen on the earth. And to the south, he gave the yellow race of people the guardianship of the wind. And they were to learn about the sky and breathing and how to take that within ourselves for spiritual advancement. And they were to share that with us in this time. And to the west, where there's blackness of night, he gave the black race of people the guardianship of the water. And they were to learn the teachings of the water, which is the chief of the elements. It is the most humble and also the most powerful. And to the north, where there's white snow on this continent, he gave the white race of people the guardianship of the fire. And if you look at the center of many of the things they do, you will find the fire in this light bulb. They say that is a white man's fire. If you look at the center of a car, you will find a spark. If you look at the center of the airplane, the train, you will find the fire. And the fire moves, also consumes. This is why it was the white brothers and sisters that began to move upon the face of the earth and reunite us as a human family. Because they had the guardianship of the fire, this was their responsibility. And so a long time passed, and the Great Spirit gave each of the four races two stone tablets. Ours are kept at the Hopi Reservation in Arizona, at Four Corners area. I've talked to people from the black race of people. Their stone tablets are at the foot of Mount Kenya. They are kept by the Kikuyu tribe. I once had the honor of presenting a sacred pipe of the Kikuyu tribe carved from the red pipestone of Mount Kenya. One time I was at an Indian spiritual gathering. A medicine man from South Dakota put a beaded medicine wheel in the middle of the gathering, and it had the four colors and the four directions. And he asked the people, where is this from? And they said, oh, probably Montana, South Dakota, maybe Saskatchewan. He said, this is from Kenya. It was beaded just like ours, same colors. The stone tablets of the yellow race of people are kept by the Tibetans in Tibet. and the guardians of the traditions of the people of Europe are the Swiss. In Switzerland, they still have the mass day when each family brings out its mask. They still know the colors of their families. They still know their symbols, some of them. Each of these four keepers happen to be people that live in the mountains. If you went straight through the Hopi reservation to the other side of the world, you would come out in Tibet. The Tibetan word for sun is the Hopi word for moon, and the Hopi word for moon is the Tibetan word for sun, because they're on the opposite sides of the world. They said that the roads of this land would either go north-south or they would go east-west. If they went north-south, we would come together as brothers and sisters. If they went east-west, there would be destruction, and almost the earth itself would have a hard time. So you all know the roads went east-west. They said things then would be lost from the east to the west. They would be lost from the south to the north. But they would come back from the west to the east and come back from the north to the south. So in 1976, from the west to the east coast of this land, from San Francisco to Washington, D.C., people carried a sacred pipe bundle by hand on foot across this land. Because they said if we carry this bundle across the earth, the powers would begin to come back. It was carried from west to east. They said a spiritual fire would be lit in the north, and it would come down the northwest coast of this land. This is it. We have the capacity to start the spiritual fire now here. The old people long ago seen it and foretold it. So we went through the cycle of time. Each of the four races went to their directions, and they learned their teachings. And we were given a sacred handshake to show when we came back together as brothers and sisters that we remembered the teachings. It was indicated on the stone tablets that the Hopis had that the first brothers and sisters that would come back to them would come as turtles across the land. They would be human beings, but they would come as turtles. So when the time came close, the Hopis built a special village to welcome the turtles that would come across the land, and they got up in the morning and looked out at sunrise. And they seen, they looked out across the desert and they saw the Spanish coming covered in armor like turtles across the land. So this.
Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where
where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
So they went out to the Spanish man and they extended their hand, hoping for the handshake. But into the hand, the Spanish man dropped a trinket. And so word spread throughout North America that it was going to be a hard time. That maybe some of the brothers and sisters had forgot the sacredness of all things, and all the human beings were going to suffer for this on the earth. So tribes begin to send people to the mountains to have visions, to try to figure out how they could survive. At that time, there was 100,000 cities in the Mississippi Valley alone called the Mound Civilization. Cities built on great mounds. Those mounds are still there. There was 100,000 cities of native people. And they were wondering how they could survive, live off the land, because they knew a hard time was going to come. They began to send people to have visions, to see how we could survive this time. People came on the East Coast, and we were told in the prophecies that we should try to remind all the people that would come here of the sacredness of all things. And if we could do that, there would be peace on earth. But if we did not do that, when the roads went clear from east to west, and when the other races or colors of the earth had walked clear across this land, if by that time we had not come together as a human family, the Great Spirit would grab the earth with his hand and shake it. And so if you read the treaty negotiations from Red Jacket of the Six Nations on the east coast of this land, clear to Chief Joseph and Chief Seattle on the west coast of this land, they all said the same thing. Chief Joseph said, "I accord you the right, and I hope that you accord me the right to live in this land." We always were trying to live together. But instead of living together, you all know there was separation, there was segregation. They separated the races, they separated the Indians, and they separated the blacks. So when they got to the west coast of this land, the elders that were aware of many of these prophecies, when they got to the west coast of this land, they said they would then begin to build a black ribbon. And on this black ribbon, they would move a bug. And when you begin to see this bug moving on the land, that was a sign for the first shaking of the earth. And this first shaking of the earth would be so violent that this bug would be shaken off the earth into the air, and it would begin to move and fly in the air. And by the end of this shaking, this bug would be in the air around the world. And behind it would be a trail of dirt. And eventually, the whole sky of the entire earth would become dirty from these trails of dirt. And this would cause many diseases that would get more and more complicated. So the bug moving on the land, of course, it's easy to see now. In 1908, the Model T Ford was mass-produced for the first time. So the elders knew the first shaking of the earth was about to come about. That's the First World War. In the First World War, the airplane came into wide usage for the first time. That was the bug moving into the sky. And so then they knew that something very important would happen. There would be an attempt to make peace on earth on the west coast of this land. And so the elders begin to watch for this. And they begin to hear that there was going to be a League of Nations in San Francisco. So the elders gathered in Arizona around 1920 or so, and they wrote a letter to Woodrow Wilson, and they asked if Indian people could be included in the League of Nations. At that time, the United States Supreme Court had held that a reservation is a separate and semi-sovereign nation, not a part of the United States, but protected by it. And this was a concern because people didn't want the reservations to become more and more separate. They didn't want them to be considered nations. So they did not write back, and the Native people were left out of the League of Nations. So that circle was incomplete. In the League of Nations circle, there was a southern door, the yellow people. There was a western door, the black people. There was the northern door, the white people. But the eastern door was not attended. And the elders knew that peace would not come on earth until the circle of humanity is complete, until all the four colors sit in the circle and share their teachings, then peace will come on earth. So they knew things would happen. Things would speed up a little bit. There would be a cobweb built around the earth, and people would talk across this cobweb. When this talking cobweb, the telephone, was built around the earth, a sign of life would appear in the east, but it would tilt and bring death. It would come with the sun. But the sun itself would rise one day, not in the east, but in the west. So the elders said, when you see the sun rising in the west, and you see the sign of life reversed and tilted in the east, you know that the great death is to come upon the earth. And now the great spirit will grab the earth again with his hand and shake it. And this shaking will be worse than the first. So the sign of life reversed and tilted, they called that the swastika. And the sun rising in the west was the rising sun of Japan. These two symbols are carved in stone in Arizona. When the elders seen these two flags, these were the signs that the earth was to be shaken again. And the worst misuse of the guardianship of fire is called the gourd of ashes. They said a gourd of ashes will fall from the air. It will make the people like blades of grass in a prairie fire, and things will not grow for many seasons. The elders tried to contact President Roosevelt and ask him not to use the gourd of ashes because it would have great effects upon the earth and eventually cause an even greater destruction in the third shaking of the earth, the Third World War. So they knew that after the second shaking of the earth and they saw the gourd of ashes fall from the sky, they knew then they would be trying to make peace on the other side of this land. And because the peace attempt on the west coast had failed, they would build a special house on the east coast of this Turtle Island, North America. And all the nations and the peoples would come to this house, and it would be called the House of Micah. It would shine like the mica on the desert shines. So the elders began to see they were building the United Nations made out of glass that reflects like the mica on the desert. So they knew that this is the House of Micah, and all the peoples of the earth should go to it. So they met and talked about this. They said that in 1920s they had written and they had not been responded to. So this time they said, we better go to the front door of the house of Micah because things might get a lot worse. So elders representing a number of tribes, I believe, drove to New York City. When the United Nations opened, they went to the front door of the house of Micah. And they said these words, we represent the indigenous people of North America and we wish to address the nations of the earth. And they said, we're going to give you 4 days to consider whether or not we will be allowed to speak. And they retreated to one of the Six Nations reserves in New York State. The Six Nations reserves are the keepers of the great moth peace of the prophet that appeared here in North America, Daganoweda. And this great law of peace is still recited. It takes 4 days between sunrise and noon each year in Indian by memory. It's recited about this time of year. 4 days later, they came back. And I believe the nations of the earth, they heard that the Indians had come to the door. And they voted to let the Indians in. They wanted to hear what they had to say. But the United States is one of 5 nations, and the United Nations with a veto power, and still they were concerned because this time the native sovereignty was even stronger. And I believe they vetoed the interests of the native people. So then they knew other things would happen on the earth, and the United Nations would not bring peace on earth, but there would be continuing and deepening confusion, and that the little wars would get worse. So they retreated to the Six Nations Reserve and they talked about this and they said the time is really getting close now, 1949. They said we're going to divide the United States into 4 sections and each year we're going to have a gathering and we're going to call these the White Writs of Peace gatherings. They begin to have these around 1950. And they authorized certain men to speak in English for the first time about these prophecies. One that I used to listen to many times over and over was Thomas Benyaka. He is a Hopi man who was authorized to speak in English about what was on the stone tablets. And he spent his lifetime, has dedicated his lifetime to doing this. And they begin to tell us at these gatherings, they said, in your lifetime you're going to see things happen. It was strange when they said it in the 1950s and 1960s, but now it seems very clear, but then it was unusual. They said you're going to see a time in your life men are going to become women. They said the Great Spirit, he's going to make a man on the earth. He made him a man, but this man's going to say, I know more than the Great Spirit. I'm going to change myself to be a woman. And they will even nurse children. They said the Great Spirit's going to make a woman on this earth. She's going to say, I know more than the Great Spirit. I want to be a man. And she will be physically a man. This sounded strange. They said, you're going to see a time in your lifetime, the human beings are going to find the blueprint that makes us. They're going to find the blueprint that makes us. They call that now DNA, dinucleic acid. And they said, they're going to cut this blueprint. They call that now genetic splicing. And they said, they're going to make new animals upon the earth. And they're going to think these are going to help us. And it's going to seem like they do help us. But maybe the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they're going to suffer. I don't know if you heard on the news last month in the United States now, they have genetically spliced a new germ never before released in the environment. They want to release this germ into the cotton fields of the South. They say it will rejuvenate and strengthen the cotton. They had scientists on the CBS Evening News the other night talking about it. And one scientist, he said what the elders said in 1950. He says, this will not harm us. We put it in a lot of tests. And the other scientist, he said what the elders also said. He said, no, this has never before been in the environment. We have no idea what it will do. But the elders spoke of it long ago. They said it will seem harmless, but it may be able to hurt the great-grandchildren.
That's what the GMOs are.
The elders said long ago, they will release these things. They will use them.
Yep.
This is going to be released not too long from now. They're making new animals. The elders talked about this. They said, you will see new animals, and even the old animals will come back. Animals that people thought had disappeared, they will find them here and there. They begin to reappear. They said, you will see a time, about this time, they said, that there's going to be a time when the eagle will fly its highest in the night, and it will land upon the moon. Some tribes say the eagle will circle the moon. Some tribes say the eagle will fly as highest in the night. And at that time, they say, many of the native people will be sleeping, which symbolically means they have lost their teachings. Or some tribes say it will be as if they're frozen, they've been through the long winter. But they say when the eagle flies its highest in the night, that will be the first light of a new day. That will be the first thawing of spring. Of course, at the first light of a new day, if you stayed up all night, you notice it's really dark. And the first light, you want to see it, but you can't. It sneaks up on you. You want to see it change, but it was dark, and then pretty soon it's getting light before you know it. We're at that time now. The eagle has landed on the moon, 1969. When that spaceship landed, they sent back the message, the eagle has landed. Traditional Native people from clear up in the Inuit that have shared with us, they have this prophecy, clear down to the Quechuas in South America who share with us, they have this prophecy. When they heard those first words, the eagle has landed, they knew that was the start of a new time, a new power for Native people. There is absolutely nothing strong before us now. We may do anything we wish. In 1776, when the United States government printed the dollar, in one claw, if you've ever noticed, there's an olive branch in this claw. They said that represented peace. The Indian elders shared with me in South Dakota with them that represents the enslavement of black people. In the prophecies of the Six Nations people, they say there will be two great uprisings by black people to free themselves. We've seen one about 1964. There will be a second, more violent one to come. In the other claw is 13 arrows. The founding fathers of the United States said that represents the 13 states. But they say the elders, that represents the enslavement of Native people. When the eagle landed on the moon, they decided to print a special silver dollar to commemorate that. I don't know how many of you noticed it. The original design showed the spaceship landing on the moon, but at the last minute it was changed to an actual eagle. And in the eagle's claws is the olive branch, but the arrows are gone. And the elders said, that's our prophecy. We have been released. There was one more uprising coming for the black race of people, and then they will be released. And this is also going to have an effect on Native people, a good effect. But we're in that time now. We're between the first light of a new day and the sunrise. The sunrise is about to come. When it comes up, everyone is going to see it. But you know how it is in the village. There's a few people that get up early, and there's some that sleep till noon. And he said, when that eagle lands on the moon, the powers begin to come back to us. And you know, as an alcoholic person, I feel that one of our greatest diseases is alcoholism. And within 7 days of the time the eagle landed on the moon, the first Native alcoholism program was started on an Apache reservation in Arizona. Within 7 days of the time the eagle landed on the moon, the Freedom of Indian Religion Act was introduced into the United States Congress in 1978. It was signed by President Carter, I believe it was November 10th. It was punishable at one time to go to jail for 10 years and or a $10,000 fine for singing a song or doing a sweat. This was changed in 1978. The legislation was introduced in 1969, less than 7 days after the eagle landed on the moon. These are the physical manifestations of the spiritual prophecies that we have. So he said at this time you're going to see things will speed up. The people on the earth will move faster and faster. Grandchildren will not have time for grandparents. Parents will not have time for children. It seems like time is going faster and faster, and the elders advise us, as things speed up, you yourself should slow down. The faster things go, the slower you go. Because there's going to come a time when the earth is going to be shaken a third time. The Great Spirit has been shaking the earth two times, the First and Second World Wars, to remind us that we are a human family, to remind us that we should have greeted each other as brothers and sisters. We had a chance after each shaking to come together in a circle that would have brought peace on earth. But we missed that. Last night they were talking on the news about the sign for the third shaking of the earth. I heard it sitting in the airport after I missed my plane. They said they're going to build what the elders called the house in the sky. In the 1950s, they talked about this. They will build a house and throw it into the sky. When you see people living in the sky on a permanent basis, you will know the Great Spirit is about to grab the earth, this time not with one hand, but with both hands. Many of you of native background may have heard, the spirits will warn you twice, but the third time you stand alone. We've had two warnings, the first two world wars.
They don't want us to know that we can heal ourselves. They don't want us.
As it says in the Baha'i writings, there will be no one protected. When this house is in the sky, the Great Spirit's going to shake the earth a third time, and whoever dropped that gourd of ashes upon them is going to drop. They say at that time there will be villages in this land so great that when you stand in these villages, you will not be able to see out. And in the prophecies, these were called villages of stone, or prairies of stone. And they said the stone will grow up from the ground and you'll not be able to see beyond the village. And at the center of each and every one of these villages, there will be native people, and they will walk as hollow shells upon a prairie of stone. They said hollow shells, this means they will have lost many of their traditional understandings. They will be empty within. They said after the eagle lands on the moon, some of these people will begin to leave these prairies of stone and come home and take up some of the old ways and begin to make themselves reborn, because it's a new day. But many will not. And they said there's going to come a time when in the morning the sun is going to rise and those villages of stone will be there. And in the evening there will just be steam coming from the ground. There will be as steam. And in the center of many of those villages of stone, when they turn to steam, the native people will turn to steam also, because they never woke up and left the village. And this used to bother me when I was a young man. I used to ask the elders, isn't there anything we can do? And they said, well, it's just that way, that if the person does not have the spiritual eyes to see, it's very hard to show them. Or if they don't have the ears to hear, it's very hard to speak with them. We wish that we could go get them all, but we can't. It's just that some are not going to wake up. But some will wake up. And so they say there's going to be the third shaking of the earth. It's going to be not a good thing to see, but we will survive it. We will survive it. And when we survive it, then there's going to be another attempt to make a circle of the human beings on the earth. And this time the native people will not have to petition to join, but will be invited to enter the circle, because they say the attitude towards us will have changed by then. And people will invite us into the circle, and all the four colors of the four directions will share their wisdoms, and there will be a peace on earth. This is coming close. A lot of times when I share this message of the prophecies, people say, can't we change it? Could we stop it? The answer is yes. The prophecies are always either or. We could have came together way back there in 1565, and we could have had a great civilization, but we didn't. Always along the path of these prophecies, we could have came together. We still could. If we could stop racial and religious disharmony, we would not have to go through this third shaking. The elders say the chance of that is pretty slim. It seems to me like it's pretty slim too. But they say what we can do is we can cushion it. The word we use is cushion. We can cushion it, so it won't be quite as bad. How do we do this? We do this by sharing the teaching that will reunite us. The Hopis and their prophecies say there will be a religion that comes here. Maybe it will be true and bring unity, or maybe it will not bring unity. If it does not bring unity, a second religion will come. And the people of this religion are known in the Hopi language as the Baha'ani, the people of Baha. Ni means people of. So I was looking for the people of Baha. I wondered who the people of Baha were. Baha, it means light or glory. Baha'i means followers of the light, or the people of Baha. We've been waiting for these people a long time. They say they will bring a teaching that will unite the earth. So we need to share this teaching. They say the fire will come from the north. So here we are in the circle in the north, talking about the Bahanis, the people of Bahan, the teachings of Baha'u'llah. When I heard about these, none of them made any sense. But now most of it has come to pass. Last night on the news, they said the house in the sky will be put up in 1996. The earth as we know it is going to change. Each of us carry, I believe, a sacred drop of light. In the Indian teachings, they say it takes 9 ancestors to agree before conception can occur. 9 ancestors of the husband or the wife have to come together in the spiritual realm and say, we will bring life before a person, woman can become pregnant. At that time, the soul is formed. I delivered my first daughter, and a man who, from the blood reserve, who went to South Dakota and was the first blood to pierce for in 82 years, he came to my house by coincidence 4 days before my wife went into labor. Each night we had a ceremony. And after the morning of, on the morning after the fourth ceremony, my wife went into labor at sunrise. And that night at sunset, the daughter was born. And I took her out and I cut the cord, you know, and I noticed that at the Sundance that the Lakota people do in South Dakota, they pass that pipe 3 times and they don't take it in the 4th time. And even in Washington, I've heard the coming of a child is like the coming of a new pipe. And when I was delivering my daughter, I happened to notice that the skull came out 3 times. And on the 4th time, her head came out like the coming of a pipe. So I took her out and I cleaned her up and I washed her. And I first put her on the mother instantly. But then after a few minutes, I re-washed her up. There was a circle of people just about like this around my wife and praying and people with different backgrounds. And we looked up and through the ceiling came a small drop of blue light. When it got close to the child, you could not see it. That was her soul. She would carry that light throughout earth. In that is her special uniqueness as a being, her spiritual power. In that are...
Well, I wish I could have gotten it timed better, but hey. Everybody have a great Thursday.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick, Ivan, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the 4 most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number 1 is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number 2 is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization,